Massive PlayStation layoffs, news about Nick Cage and Ghost Rider, a Naked Gun reboot, Halo Episode 4-5, Doom Part 2. We have a packed full episode for you guys today. And to top it all off, you guys know what comes up first.
Welcome to the Light, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lights, Camera, Rant, which this particular episode, as I said, we will be diving into Doom Part 2, an epic sequel, Halo, and so much more. And, you know, again, it's beginning of March. We're in March of 2024 already, and still so much has happened in the last crazy weeks it's been, and still announcements, new things, changes to movies, everything. So I'm going to do my very best to keep you guys updated on all of this. And before we fully get into it, I would say, if you haven't already, please go check out our latest movie review, which was for Baghead. It's a brand new horror movie that's just dropped in the past week. Got to go to an early screening premiere for it. Loved it. And look, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, you look at the title, and I was just like you. I'm like, this sounds bad. I'm like, don't know how much you're going to engage with. But I was looking and going, I didn't watch anything, just saw the poster, didn't watch any trailers, nothing, went fully blind and absolutely loved it. It is one of those movies where you get to the last 10 minutes and you look around, you're like, oh, no, no way. But there is also a little bit more that was a little bit like, you could have worked on that. So I definitely go check out the full review. And I would also like to say thank you very much to Eric and Benigo236 for coming past on the YouTube so early. Appreciate it, which we do have Eric. His comment says, crazy how it feels like we already have the next potential best picture, although I think it will probably just be nominated but not win before the Oscars this year have even happened. Dude, I completely agree. If this doesn't... which I will get into, but like, if it doesn't win Best Picture, cinematography, costumes, all the rest, it will take home everything else except for Best Picture, because we still have another 8 months of the year. Jesus, 8 months of the year, and in 6 months I'm getting married. That's a scary thing. That time is just absolutely flying, and I saw a post the other day as well, just on top of that, that was like, these are the biggest superhero movies that are coming out next year. And I was looking going, that's Fantastic Four, the Batman, Blade, if that does come, Cap 4, Superman Legacy. And I was like, jeez, that is, yeah, it's going to be a big year. Whether it's almost like a more jam-packed year. Like, we got a big year last year, 2023, but this seems to be more packed. And the two top guns going into 2025 is Superman Legacy and Fantastic Four, because there is so much riding on this. Superman Legacy is what James Gunn needs to have an absolute home run to kick off his new DCEU. Marvel needs an absolute win in the Fantastic Four family, because these are going to be the brand new pillars of the MCU moving forward. Yeah, there's so much writing on this. The superhero genre right now is in an absolute flux. So there is a lot writing on this. Also, Eric, I'm seeing Zone of Interest tomorrow because it's only people you know I've left. Otherwise, I would avoid it properly. Yeah, that's fair. Also, Eric, the two DC ones honestly sound like more surefire hits to me, especially Batman 2. Actually, sorry, my apologies. I forgot about Batman 2 in that listing. Sorry, that's six films. Now, the Batman 2, it's interesting because out of all those films, I feel like the Batman 2 was a lot in the dark with it. Like, we don't vaguely know. There's been, like, nothing about it. We've just got the fact it's called Batman 2, essentially, and everybody is returning. from the first one that survived. But that's all we know. Into this, and I don't get me wrong, I like that. But it's, you know, we don't even have something like they've started filming yet. That's the thing that worries me. Because, you know, last time the Batman, when the first Batman got released, we knew when it was filming. Obviously, they haven't announced it yet, but I'm pretty sure the actor with Jeffrey, I can't remember his last name, who plays Commissioner Gordon, said they haven't started filming yet. And it's March 2024. Usually, filming takes up to 12 months, depending. So, you know, obviously, well, actually, you know, probably about 6 months of filming, sorry, and the rest is post-production, which, in saying that, I am going to check for everybody. Is that the Batman 2? Yeah, the Batman 2 is at the beginning of October, October the 3rd. Thank you, Eric. Jeffrey Wright. The Batman 2 is on the 3rd of October, so they'd have to start filming in the next month or two to make sure it's not, you know, it's not too condensed and it's not a rushed sequel, which I agree with you as Eric as well, is that I think it will be delayed. Because we've heard very little to none, and there's nothing about being filmed, the Batman 2 could very much be delayed to 2026. But don't get too afraid, though, because we do have the Penguin TV show that is releasing, I think, also October this year, that will be on HBO Max, which will bridge the gap between the Batman and the Batman 2. So maybe at the end of Batman and the Penguin, we might get a little snippet of saying, you know, or a little teaser or trailer or something. Probably not a trailer, but just a little small little teaser of when that's going to be coming out. It would be, you know, they definitely shouldn't rush it. Don't jam-pack it. You know, there's a lot riding on the Batman 2 because Matt Reeves did such a fantastic job setting up this world that, you know, that's coming as well. But at the same time, are we going to have a situation where I know they haven't cast, I know they haven't started filming or anything, but you know, if they delay it to 2026, will James Gunn's Batman Brave and the Bold already go into production for that as well? And potentially, could we get two Batman movies in the same year? I highly doubt that will happen. But right now, we know as much about Batman 2 as we know about Batman Brave and the Bold. Actually, no. We know a little bit more about Batman because Batman the Brave and the Bold lost the Flash director. But filming-wise and release date, they're on the exact same level. So let's dive into the pop culture news. The biggest thing of this week seems to be the biggest thing that's happened in the past few months. Now, since COVID, the key word has been delay, 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 delay. Delay, delay, delay. But the key word for this year, which is really terrible, is layoffs, firing, downsizing, mergers, acquisitions, however you want to call it in that particular order. Because the Sony CEO has announced the fact that they had to lay off 8% of their total staff. I mean, that's 900 employees that have been let go. And their PlayStation Studios in London has been shut down. Now, this has affected Naughty Dog, Insomniac, which is no surprise. But, you know, we heard, obviously, Microsoft, that happened to Microsoft. Now it's happening to the Sony. It's an interesting time now for this to all be happening. Now, I know there's been a lot of conversation that people say, you know, the gaming industry is a bit stagnant. Things have old is still old, you know, nothing's being fresh, you know, and we're seeing games, big IP games that are falling flat, but then, which is also great, you know, we see AAA smaller games that are making a huge impact, like Power World, Helldivers. So I just hope that from all these layoffs, that what can flourish from this is that they can take this and then create a new gaming studio. A bunch of people would take a new gaming studio and they make brand new games the way they want it without the restrictions from the publisher or, you know, someone saying you can't do this or you can't do that, that, you know, we get a more independent gaming studio. Now, I know that's very difficult. I know there's a lot of galleries. I know there's about publishing, everything else in between, but I just really hope something really positive can come from this. It may take a little bit of time, but you never know. But waking up in the morning, opening Instagram, opening Twitter, and seeing that just makes me... No, it's not what you're going to see. All those jobs gone. Just out the door. And it's just a wild time to think about. And you think about all the games they're currently working on that are being affected. And there's a whole bunch of rumors of games that have been cancelled and delayed. Or, like, you know, more cancellations because of this. Between the Microsoft layoffs and the Sony layoffs. So... it's going to be one of those things where this won't be the last time we're going to see let goes or downsizing. It's not going to be the end. Unfortunately, more is going to have to be ready, so be ready for that. But the games I have seen that get cancelled is nothing too major that's been let go, but at the same time, it's like, have these actually been cancelled or have they been cancelled for a lot longer? But more layoffs to come, sadly. But a little bit positive, which is interesting on the DC side of things, that now this is obviously the second DC thing we'll be talking about today, is that we've all heard, I've even got an episode on it, which if you can go back and listen to, it's called Missing DCEU Sequels. Now, we all know the giant plan that was meant to be for the DC, that was the Snyderverse, Justice League 2, Justice League 3, The Flash, the Batman 2, you know, there was so much writing on this. But one of the terrible things that did get cancelled was the Ben Affleck Batman movie that was going to have Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke, which we saw at the end of the Justice League Snyder Cut, of Justice League both, two different scenes. One was really good, one was really shit. That... it was going to be about him trying to kill Batman. It was going to be really gritty. He was going to be very much in the style of like the Arkham games. There was a lot, you know, you can go read about everything that was going to be on the table, and it was fantastic to know. So, but Joe Manganiello has come forward and said that he has spoken to DC Comics or DC head to make it into a comic book run, which I think would be fantastic to see. You know, yes, it's not. Not a film, but you never know. We might get a comic book of this, and then what usually leads to is an animated film. I would love to see the Ben Affleck Snyderverse film that would have been with them all returning for an animated film. I think it would sell a shit ton, and it would be streamed a lot. But for Deathstroke fans, Batman fans, Snyder fans, we very potentially will get a comic of this. He said he has been in discussions, hasn't been greenlit, but there's a big potential the fact we'll see this in a comic, which would be an absolute win. Now, this, I totally forgot about this altogether. I totally forgot about this was in production, that this was happening, but the Naked Gun reboot with Liam Neeson is set for next year. It's set for July 2025, so you'll be going to see Superman, and you'll be going to see Fantastic Four, and in between this, Naked Gun reboot with Liam Neeson. So set your dials to that. If you haven't seen The Naked Gun, it was great film. There was three films. The first one was still the very best. One, and it had, I totally just forgot his name. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot his name. that's going to really bug me. So it's, Leslie Nielsen. Sorry. So that's why I got confused. Leslie Nielsen played Frank Drebin in the first three movies and on a TV show, which is spawned from, but Liam Neeson. Wow. What are the chances of that? It's very rare. Is going to be coming in July next year. If you haven't gone and seen it, definitely go check it out. It's an old classic comedy, and it's really funny. This is coming. Forgot it was coming, but it is. So get ready for that, which I'll be going to see, because Liam Neeson is such a good actor, and him singing something like The Naked Gun, this is going to be pretty funny. Now, Superman Legacy fans, Superman fans, as I say that, yes, James Gunn has posted on his Instagram in the past week, the Superman Legacy title has now changed to just Superman. He said in the Instagram post the fact that compared to when he did the first draft to the final draft of the film, he decided to change the title. Now, this could be, I don't think this is a bad thing. It could be multiple things. You know, a story might have morphed into something else, might have changed a little bit, or, you know, trying to separate from the comic as much as possible. So taking elements from the comic, but not being a direct sequel, which is a direct adaptation, which sometimes people can get. So we've also got the brand new suit logo, Superman Legacy suit logo, which we can see that's in a bit of ice, which, of course, for any Superman fans, that is going to be the Fortress of Solitude. It looks good. I like the material. It's made me think of very Man of Steel vibes. Just the texture and the color coding for it. So I do like it. Obviously, we do have to wait until we get the very full thing. But filming had started this past week. So depending on everything else, get ready for Leak Central on everything that might come out. But that is currently in production. So, and we also got a cast photo, which looks very good. Can't wait for this coming out. Can't wait to get a new Superman movie. It's been way too long. Whether or not, the big question is, where how's it going to sit with all the rest of Superman films? You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, TV show, returns, and Man of Steel. And I know there will be a lot of Man of Steel fans going, goes, this won't be as good as Man of Steel, I betcha. But just give it a chance. Let's see how it goes. I'm up for it. In James Gunn, we trust. You know, he's done fantastic with the Guardians of the Galaxy. He did fantastic with Suicide Squad. So let's see what he can do with Superman. But yes, it's no longer called Superman Legacy. It is just Superman, which will be going head-to-head with the Fantastic Four. So comic book fans, superhero fans, it is going to be a week when that comes out. It's funny because the reviews are going to be like, in that space of 2 weeks, you get one review going all about Superman, you get one about Fantastic Four, and there's going to be another review of, like, comparing the two. Like, it's just going to go nuts. And in between that is, as I said, the Naked Gun reboot. Now this is something that has been in works for a very long time. It's gone through a lot of script changes. Delays didn't happen, but there's a brand new Tron movie coming out called Tron Ares, A-R-E-S. And we've just got our first look at Jared Leto in a titular role in his Tron suit. Now, there's very little details about this movie. It is coming out in 2025. I don't believe we have a fully set date for it. But it is a sequel to the 2013 movie that we got, which was Tron Legacy. Just looking at this, no, it's all we've got is it's set for 2025 release. Now, we haven't seen Jared Leto, we just get the suit. But this has been in development for a very long time. But you tell me, are you excited for a new Tron movie? Are you desperate for one? Are you excited for it? Does it make you think about the 80s version? Apparently, this one's going to take it back to its grassroots. I'm curious to see how it's going to tie in with the previous Trons and how has Jared Leto come into all this. Obviously, you know, with there was the previous cast, we got even Evan Peters is joining in as well. So don't forget, Neutron on the horizon, but the black and red suit, I'm loving it. My first thing when I first saw this, I thought of Arkham Knight. As soon as I saw it, I was like, if you tweak it, if you put the bat ears in it, boom, that's the Arkham Knight right there. But I know you probably will see it very soon. Someone changing that. X-Men fans. Now, we speak about X-Men 97 just recently. Now that we know we've got the first trailer, we know the fact it's 10 episodes long. We also know that season 2 is currently in development, but we're also getting 2 episodes that are premiering on March the 20th. So from March the 20th to May 15th, we're getting an X-Men 97 episode every single week. And I've also got a very special guest that will be coming on to, sorry, very special guests that will be coming on to the show to review that in its entirety at the very end. So we will not be reviewing it every single week. We're going to do a whole combined review right at the end for it. I'm currently right now, I am watching X-Men 97 from the very start. And I must admit, I totally forgot. I don't know if it was because I'm a kid and I'm seeing this as an adult. The fact that how political, political it is, or just how adult the themes are for this. And I was like, I don't remember some of this, but I'm going from the very start again. And the animation, like, it's typical 90s, looks good. But, you know, one thing I look at it, I just look how badass Rogue is, and then what the Rogue we got in the X-Men movie films. I'm like, wow, they're very far removed from each other. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I understand what Rogue and the X-Men try to do, you know, obviously difference between mutants and humans, but then when you look at Rogue in the TV show, you're like, animated TV show, you're like, huh, you're a lot cooler and a lot more powerful, a lot more badass in this than you were in the movies. So, okay, what can you do? Some things adapt, some don't. And I really do hope that, you know, we get James Marsden's Cyclops in his classic suit. We're hopefully a Rogue in her classic outfit for Deadpool 3. I really hope we do is like not a nice send off, but like just seeing them in their iconic like outfits. Because, you know, if you see Cyclops in his iconic yellow and blue outfit in Deadpool 3, you're not going to look and go, oh, that doesn't look weird. You're just going to be like, no, that looks sick. Especially when he's going to stand next to Deadpool. It's going to look good, especially, you know, depending on the military suit wise. It's going to look good. But yeah, two episodes to premiere, so we're going to like an hour. I'm guessing we'll still be about the 30 minutes per episode. I don't know, it's about 20 minutes right now. So now I would say maybe 30 minutes or 25 minutes. So we're going to at least get roughly an hour debut for X-Men 97, which is around the corner. Now, this is heavily speculated, but we're still going to be talking about the real meal. The rumors have come up again that Nick Cage will be returning as Ghost Rider in Deadpool 3, and he's being approached to also appear in Secret Wars. So as I've mentioned multiple times, Avengers Secret Wars, everybody that's ever come into an X-Men film, Blade, you know, any super film we've ever had can be on the table for Secret Wars. There's going to be so much that can be happening in Secret Wars. So your craziest theory can happen. Two Wolverines versus each other. We could get Cyclops. We could get Rogue. We can get Beast. We can get Galactus. We can get so many people in that film. And so the rumor mill, until that movie drops, is just up here. It's up here. And seeing Nick Cage as Ghost Rider in Deadpool 3 would be mad. Seeing Nick Cage as Ghost Rider in Secret Wars would be insane. Been saying that as an old fan, yes. But as someone in the new progression going to MCU with new characters, I would like to see a recast going into Secret Wars. I don't know if it's a launching point between old and new Ghost Rider, but I want to see a new Ghost Rider in the MCU. Let me rephrase that. I want to see the MCU's Ghost Rider, not Nick Cage. Like a cameo, that'd be fine. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, you know, nostalgia factor, but I also would like to go for a new one. Bendigo 2360 on YouTube says Ghost Rider. Yeah. Eric says, honestly, I'm good. I don't need Nick as Ghost Rider back personally. Yeah. It's funny because, as I said, part of me is like, ooh. And then another part of me is like, yeah, no, we can, with someone else can do it. Eric, just give me the full original X-Men cast and I'm good otherwise. Yeah, I hope we do get that, man. I hope that everyone for that first X-Men film comes back. You know, Magneto, everybody comes back for some kind of cameo. I love, you know, seeing Magneto. Yeah, it's just going to be, again, almost, yeah, Deadpool 3 has that bit of, like, anything is on the table. Kind of structure. But Nick Cage is around the corner. And I also forgot to mention, as with Kung Fu Panda and Ghostbusters, tickets are on sale now. So definitely check in and go pick them. I'm about to go buy my tickets for Ghostbusters. Frozen Empire is coming out this month, which, yeah, do it at the start, Ghostbusters at the end, and Kung Fu Panda. Now, let's dive into Halo. Now, I posted on YouTube and TikTok how in the last episode, no helmet, no suit. We get about 3 episodes of Master Chief not wearing either. Yay! And I've had some very interesting comments with this, saying, oh, you know, it's fine. He takes his helmet off. You know, they do it in the books. But, you know, if you don't like it, don't watch it. It's people like you. Actually, I got called. I was like, this is what the problem I have with you reviewers. And I was like, okay. I saw all it pop up to my phone when I saw it. I was like, okay, let's start this. And then this person did say, you know, you review it, you complain about it, but you still watch it. And this is my thing, is that I like the Halo TV show to a degree that there's elements in it that I love. You know, at the very beginning of the episode, we saw Master Chief go fight some elites. It was action. That was good. That was gritty. I like it. I like the politics in the background. You know, Cortana does a great job in just saying all that. It's just this other pile of crap. It's like someone going, like, drawing a perfect line and then someone shaking them and a perfect line, shaking them repeatedly. Or someone knows the Halo content, writes half the script, and someone who doesn't know the Halo content writes the other script. And they just mash it together. And we get this. We get this type of show. And I know a lot of people are like, you know, a lot of people, you know, some were for it, some against it. And yeah, and this last episode, you know, was obviously a lot about the fallout of Reach. Yes, the fall of Reach is only contained in one episode. And that's it. Reach is gone. Move on, which we have to in this episode. And of course, we get Quan. Quan's back. Quan's doing it. God, something, but she's meant to protect the plan or something like that. And like, cool, don't care about Quan's story at all. And obviously, Kestis trying to find the kiddo, which, you know, with Soren doesn't go too well. They almost find the kid, but it's not him. And they find out their kid's been taken by the UNSC. And they're, I guess, worried that they might turn him into the next version of Spartans, which we did get a promo at the end, which looks like we're going to the Spartan factory. I forgot the plant's name, but that's looks like it's going to be in the next episode. So we get that, and we get McKee and Cortana with the Arbiter, which we get the Arbiter. And I'm like, when he's talking, I'm like, why couldn't you get the voice actor of the original Arbiter in the games? Like, why is that so hard? You're calling him after, unless he dies and then new one comes in. But I'm like, why did you use a faint voice actor for that? And he's still alive. Like, why is that so hard? Like, you would have got so many more fans on board if it would sound like him. So, obviously, we get like a little short glimpse of Halo, roughly, thanks to Cortana. And it seems like McKee still loves Master Chief to a degree, you know, that kind of connection. It's not explained yet how McKee is still alive after she died, but she seems to have all the memories coming, all memories of what's happened. And obviously, we get the funeral in this episode, of Vakan, what happened with him, how he died in the last episode, and Master Chief kind of has to go experience that and lost not just a soldier on the ground. And, you know, you're looking at this episode, I understand it's a low point. I understand, before someone else screams at me, that not every episode is going to be action to action to action, action. I get that. But, you know, I'm watching this and I'm just looking at him. All right, when are you going to pick up a gun? When are you going to do something? When's the next thing? I'm like, yes, there's been loss compared to the episode. As in, it's great character development. But pretty much by the end of this, his entire team is gone. Spoilers alert, but the team that we grew with and know in the first season, pretty much gone. And we do know that there was a team in the story of Halo Reach that did fall and did die because of Reach. We understand that. So it looks like their plot is being woven into them. We also find out that Kai obviously went off with Ackerson into she will be the new leader or new face leading the next Spartans, and she seems fine about this. Going into that, but this episode, it was a very slow episode in its entirety. It was a bit slow, and I understand it, but at the same time, it looks like the next episode is going to be a lot of action. It's like everybody else. I just wish, he had his suit back. But we've got the next episode. It's called Onyx. And the next episode of that's called Thermopylae. I probably butchered that terribly. And the last one's called Halo. So what's that going to entail? Are we going to finally get to Halo? Are we going to get the Pillar of Autumn? How's that going to lead into this? And there's still no word of this being renewed for season 3. I can't believe it's maybe 2 years ago since I reviewed season 1. But yes, my comment from the very second episode of the show, hit and miss. It's episodes like hit, miss, miss, hit, miss, miss, maybe a hit. That is almost how I can sum up this TV show so far entirely. If they do make a season 3, for the love of God, just keep him in the suit. Because if it goes the way I said, if it goes the way that season 3 is going to be launching into, they're actually going to find Halo and the Flood, and then we're going to get all that. We haven't seen anything with the Flood ever again since that. But, how these next 3 episodes are going to shake up to be... Actually, no, I'll lie. Next episode will be action. Episode 7 will be a miss. Episode 8 will be a banger. There is my prediction going into that, what's going to be. But yeah, I'd love to know, what are people thinking of this show so far? I'd love to know. Comment, let me know, DM, let's talk about Halo. Again, it's probably one of the shows I'm telling you, wait until the very end to watch it. But hit and miss, hit and miss. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get down to the movie of this episode, Dune Part 2. Now, this film is on an epic scale that is reserved for sequels like Alien 2, Terminator 2, and The Dark Knight. Movies in which take everything from the first one and increase it to 110%. Why building the world? Now, this film cost $190 million to make. It's currently made $32 million at the box office. It has a runtime of 190 minutes. And it has its Thursday night opening night has made more money than what the first one did. And it is only just recently that I watched the first one for this particular film. Now, obviously, we know Dune is a remake from the 1984. It's based on the same book. Now, the runtime is about the same as the first one. It's 10 minutes longer, and all the returning cast, everyone is back with a few new additions, like Austin Butler, Christopher Walken, and Florence Pugh. Now, this movie very much is going to be up there for Best Picture contender. Now, me saying that, while I was watching it, it is visually stunning to look at. The CGI for this movie is fantastic. It's on point. They have used so much practical effects on this film, and it just looks great. And it was just, I just found myself just sitting in my seat watching and going, wow, like that just, there's so many shots in this film that you look at and go, that's great. And at the same time, I'm looking, wow, Anakin would hate this movie entirely. Anakin Skywalker would hate this film so much. Also, we are going to be diving into spoilers. Now, as I said, this film is going to run time of 3 hours, but one of the negatives I have to say about this film is that I found myself that the first hour of the film is very slow. Now, I understand that you're trying to catch up with the characters from the previous film, set where everybody is at the moment, but it was just seemed to be, yeah, a bit slow building up to it. You know, just building everything in the world, seeing everything. And even Austin Butler doesn't actually come into the film as he's kind of character Fred, Freed. He doesn't rock up until an hour and a half, about an hour. He doesn't rock up into it. And I saw people's comments saying that, you know, they're comparing him to his very iconic villain status from, you know, as the Joker or from No Country for Old Men. And I looked at that and I was like, hold up. Austin Butler does a great job playing this character. He's very distorted. He's a great fighter. He has an absolute excellent fight scene with Timothée Chalamet's character at the end, which is great to watch. But it's one of those characters where I didn't feel like that was kind of like at the same. I wouldn't compare it to that same characters. Great iconic villain, but nothing to go, what? This is another level. This is just insane. This is top tier. He did a great job, but not on that level. Nowhere near. So he is a great menacing character to Timothée Chalamet's character, Paul. They do great. And about half, you know, this movie is a battle between freedom, prophecy, and destiny. And that theme goes for the entire time until the very end and still continues on. You know, it's very much, you know, how much is destiny, how much is prophecy, when people believe, when people fall, and you get that divide amongst the characters. And you can feel it. You know, you feel it, you know, the oppression, what's going on in this world, what they need to do, all over the spice for this world. And they convey that really, really well. And all the way. And of about an hour and a half or two, actually, like two hours of this film, you know, Timothée Chalamet does a great job of the character trying to learn the way of the people, learn the language of the people, and also denying his destiny because he doesn't believe it, because he just wants to just help and do the right thing after all the events of what happened in Dune 1 with his dad and his family. And Zoldana, she does a fantastic job in her character. You know, she is nowhere near anything to do with being MJ. She's a fighter. She's ruthless. You see her take down so many people in this film during the fight scene. So she does such a good job in this film. And, you know, Florence Pugh, she's only in it for 30 minutes in total. And she does a great job. And I was saying to my friend, friends that we did get it, Florence Pugh is not only is she she's in this, and she's also going to be in Dune 3, because yes, Dune 3 is in the works. Hans Zimmer is currently working on Dune 3. The director, he's working on Dune 3. He's given the first draft of the script to Hans Zimmer, which we apparently called Dune Messiah. There was no question in my mind that Dennis wasn't going to make it Dune 3 with how much money this is going to make. But you know, she's in a very short time. She's ranking up such a filmography, and she's gone from this to go start shooting Thunderbolts. Now, I know a lot of people will probably be saying, wow, it's such a downgrade from her going from this to Thunderbolts. But, you know, if she's picked the character, if she's invested, then obviously she, you know, she sees the way to it. And I can't wait for Thunderbolts. I can't wait to see her be a kick ass and leading the team in Thunderbolt. She has to be the leader. She's one of two girls, which is also Ghost, that's going to be in this film. So she's going to nail it going to this. But, you know, a lot of the characters, like Josh Brolin, also returns, you know, and the Baron, the practical effects and the prosthetics in this film are great. The black and white shots are great. But, you know, as the film does progress, now, I'm going to be straight honest. I looked at my watch while watching this. Now, a lot of people are praising this film as you know, The Empire Strikes Back. And And you know, all in all, and I agree, this is, as I mentioned, this is an absolute solid sequel. But at the same time, I did check my watch. Found just a little bit slow and not on the level of Inception, but there's a lot of world building, and there's a lot of world building and of, you know, Messiah prophecies, half talking in the native language, half not talking in their language, you know, how the houses, how this, the hierarchy, you know, it has been there. So if you have, you know, I know I did see someone's comment saying, oh, you don't have to watch the first one to watch this. I would say you do need to watch the first one to watch this to understand what the hell is going on. Because if I didn't watch the first one or watch anything about the first one, I'd be like, what the is going on? And it's, if you do drift off a little bit, you will get lost in this film. It is just one of those films where it's giving you so much exposition of everything that you really need to pay attention. And we do see the prophecy come true. We do see Paul take the fight to the Baron, kills him, spoilers, and goes far with Emma, which is Christopher Walken. And unfortunately, his love between him and Zaldana's character, which I just totally forgot her name, Shani, which they get really close. He tells her he loves her, but unfortunately they can't be together because he knows what he has to do to, you know, free the people, free the planet, and take it over. And so there's no more oppression. So obviously he has to take Florence Pugh's character's hand in marriage and ascend to the throne, which leads to a fight between them and the houses that were occupying the planet on what's going to happen next. So Dune 3 is going to be an all-out war and a fight for the throne, and everything's going to happen in between. So that is going to happen. We get a cameo from Anya Taylor-Joy as Paul's unborn sister yet, that's talking to Rebecca Ferguson's character, Jessica, which is a little bit odd, a little bit psychotic in the sense by watching it. She does a great job as well. And you find out, now I thought this was funny. I know before as well, I wasn't able to get the bucket for Dune. I was really, my theater is shit. I couldn't get the bucket at all. I was like, oh. And I probably won't get Ghostbusters bucket either, which just sucks. I've gone to another theater too. I haven't seen anything. So I don't know if it's like an Australia thing, but it's awful. So Paul could see some of the future, and then to see the full future, he has to drink the, now hold, stay with me. He has to drink the blood of a sandworm that has been drowned and taken off to see the future that is not for men and could kill you. And it obviously gives you the deep blue eyes. And then after he does that, because after he's, you know, he's looked and goes to be thrown, he goes into this and goes, now I know what's going to happen. He finds that he's related to the Baron, and that leads to a whole thing and leads out to this immense battle that happens in the last 40 minutes, which is great to watch. The battle is great. The most action is in the last 40 minutes of this movie. So this is, everyone that's participated in this film does a fantastic job. They're acting, thumbs up. Great, great, great. Does really good. My problem with it is the length. My problem is the exposition into this. And a lot of people say, oh, no, it's not that bad. It just depends, I'd say, on the type of person. This is a family flick. This is something you can put on a Saturday night and watch with the family, but at the same time, you will have to be explaining all of this and that and that. But, you know, if by the time Dune 3 comes out, if that's also going to be 3 hours, this is going to be, you know, one of the longest time frame trilogies, right up there with Lord of the Rings. And yes, Dave Bautista is also returning the character. He does a great job in it, you know, seeing Bautista. He's never a disappoint. Seeing them is great. And Javier Burdum is Stilgar, which you have known him from No Country for Old Men and Pirates of the Caribbean, Scarlet's Revenge, or Dead Men Tell No Tales. You see them, they do a fantastic job. So this is an absolutely solid movie. It is a number one contender for Best Picture, that is to be seen. But look, if it doesn't win Best Picture, this is most likely going to win Cinematography, Best Acting, and Best Costume Design. It will at least win that, if anything else. So at my end of this film, my review for this, great. Get ready for a long ride. You might be looking at your watch for the, yeah, so you will be looking at your watch for this. It's a lot more world building. If you watch this and then go and you'll be set for Dune 3, which Dune 3 has no release date. There's nothing set in stone, but you're same thing. You're looking about 3 years down the track. So you're probably looking about 2027. Yeah. I'll say 2027, you're gonna see Dune 3 at this time. But again, Timothée Chalamet is really setting on the fact that he's being forced to be reckoned for in Hollywood. And Zendaya does, again, smash it out of the park. She's another one who's getting a massive filmography between this and being one of the box office kings between this and Dune. I can't wait to see how much Dune is going to make at the end and what will it entail, but there's a lot on the case. But look, that is my review for Dune Part 2. Going to this, seeing the theater, it's great. You're still going to enjoy it, but just get ready for everything else. And look, I want to say thank you very much to everyone who's coming past. And as you enjoy this episode, please go check out our previous videos in the link below. Whether you're watching or listening, it doesn't matter. And until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time. Happy ranting!